Friends, let's join our hearts in prayer. Good and gracious God, on this Holy Trinity Sunday, we look to you in ways that constantly expand our horizons. We look to you as the one who is not only Father and Creator, but the one who is Lord and Savior, and the one who is that Spirit that empowers, that renews, that restores, that reignites. And so today, broaden the scope of our understanding of who you are as we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I've been reflecting on the theme for today, this Holy Trinity Sunday, an image came to mind, in fact, an experience that I thought bared some repeating. As you well know, Joanne and I have been at this journey of pastoral leadership for a number of years, and it took me back to a time when we were serving as interns in a small community in Wisconsin. And being in this new community, we obviously had many and various experiences, but the one that still sticks with me to this day is choosing to learn something brand new. I've never been much of a dancer throughout my life, but we decided to enroll in a dance class, a ballroom dance class, no less, at the local YMCA, and so we launched on a new journey of learning and growing together as husband and wife. Now, usually when I take on something that is totally new to me, I enter into it with an open mind, but also kind of with a desire to succeed at it. And you know, I'm fairly musically inclined and thought of myself as being fairly coordinated. So I thought, what's the big deal about putting together music with movement of one's body? And with a little instruction, I thought I'd pick it up rather simply. And so right out of the chute, our dance instructors, who happened to be a husband and wife team, decided to launch us with learning about the waltz. And they broke it down into the very simplest of basics, you know, a counted cadence, long, long, short, short, long, long, short, short. And we practiced this for a while, obviously looking at our feet the whole time and feeling like, yeah, we've got the hang of this. Until finally the instructor plugged in some music with it and said, now we want you to dance in rhythm with the music. And I totally lost it. I mean, it became very complex and confusing, trying to do the long, long, short, short in rhythm with the music. And before I knew it, I was tripping and stumbling not only over my own feet, but over Joanne's feet as well. But as we persevered, and we did, and as we continued to get a few dance classes under our belts, so to speak, and a lot of private practice, as well as tripping over one another's feet in our living room, we got to the point where we started enjoying the dance, enjoying being a couple together, moving in rhythm with the music, and truly achieving something that we'd never done before. Now, why enlighten you with my rudimentary, not-so-successful exploits on the dance floor? Well, I believe that it has a lot to do with the Holy Trinity, believe it or not. Dancing has helped expand my understanding of the somewhat puzzling teaching about the Holy Trinity. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, we say. Believe it or not, throughout history, the church has struggled to explain the Christian belief that God is one God reflected in three persons as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's been many analogies that have been used to teach about it. I've used them myself. Taking the element of water, for instance, and pointing to how it can appear in three different forms, in a frozen form as ice, and a liquid form, obviously, as water that you can drink from a cup, or when it is heated up and vaporized. I've also used in children's messages an egg, holding it up and saying, an egg is one thing, but it can be divided out into three, a shell, a yolk, and an egg white. And then I have uplifted, you know, how we as individuals sometimes can fulfill three different roles and reflections. I, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, am one example of that. But all of those ways of illustrating three expressions of something as one all fall short, I believe, of what it means to describe more fully who God is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a Bible scholar that said it this way: when humans try to describe God, we're like a bunch of oysters trying to describe a ballerina. We simply do not have the equipment to understand something so utterly beyond us. And I have to agree with that. But it has not daunted teachers throughout the generations, and I'm glad for that. So in an effort to keep on trying to grasp just a little bit more of understanding who God is on this Holy Trinity Sunday, I'd like to offer a concept for you that's helped me gain a deeper sense of the Trinity as it is expressed through the experience of dance. In fact, making a connection with dance and the Holy Trinity goes back centuries in time to some of the earliest teachers of the faith. Early church fathers, as they were called, sought to describe the dynamic of the Trinity using a Greek word, and you don't have to remember this beyond today, but at least you need to hear it, perichoresis. And it's a word that's translated to literally mean to make space around oneself. It might have been the base word for words like perimeter, you know, creating a perimeter around yourself. It reminds me of circle dances that often are expressed in folk cultures as people join hands together and they're individuals that are united in a singular dance as they spin and whirl and twirl together. It makes me imagine my own nearly 3-year-old granddaughter as she is whirling and twirling around the floor and dancing and spinning and turning. It's that image that really ignited in me what it might be like to give expression to the Holy Trinity. God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, intertwined, interunited with one another, where you can't even distinguish where one begins and the other ends. They are with one another, for one another, in one another, whirling and twirling and swirling in a perfect harmony with each other. So by now you're probably thinking, and why, Pastor Dave, does all of this matter? Well, let me answer with yet another quote from one of my favorite Christian authors, C.S. Lewis, who put it this way: it matters more than anything else in the world. The whole dance of the Holy Trinity, he writes, is to be played out in each one of us. Did you get that? Played out in each one of us. Or to put it another way, each one of us is being invited to take his or her part in the dance with the Trinity. For there is no other way to discover the happiness for which we were made. In essence, we're living out our best selves when we enter into the dance to be dance partners, if you will, with the living God. From the beginning, this was God's intention for us, to make us a part of his dance of love expressed through that intertwined character of God as Creator and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. We read examples of that in our scriptures today, but particularly in Psalm 8, I wanted to highlight a couple of images. The psalmist writes these words, and they are always inspiring to me. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them, and yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. The psalmist is trying to capture that image of we as human creations of God as being co-creators, if you will, with God, partners in this dance of love and life in the world, a dance of harmonious movement with God and with God's creation. What a beautiful image. Unfortunately, though, we know this about our journey as people. that from the beginning we also have often rejected this image, this invitation of joining in the dance with God and with His creation. Instead, I dare say we all too often step out of the dance, away from it, and start stomping around with our own feet and stomping on the feet of those around us in acts of disdain and disregard for things that are life-giving and beautiful and promising. This past week, we've been seeing reflections of that, not only out in Los Angeles, but yesterday hearing the tragic news about events in Champlain and Brooklyn Park. A dynamic being revealed of God's creation, God's people, mistreating, misunderstanding, misrepresenting, and even resorting to murder as reflections of God. And for what? A difference of opinion over politics? It breaks my heart even to say that. But thankfully, this is not where our God, in all of His abundance and love, chooses to leave us. Our God, through Jesus, re-enters the dance with humanity and seeks to restore us back as partners to the dance. You know this story of salvation as well as I. In a gracious, undeserved act of self-giving love, the Creator of the universe sacrificially gives over to death His only Son, Jesus the Christ, who rises over the power of death as that great overcomer, leaving the tomb standing empty. But then He doesn't leave us with that and abandon us entirely. Out of pure and unconditional love, our Savior Jesus then says He will send His empowering Spirit to be with us always to the end of the ages, to restore and sustain us and renew us and revitalize us. So the dance of the Trinity continues, the dance of life. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in perfect harmony, inviting His created glory to join in the dance. So here's my invitation to all of us, maybe even our challenge on this Holy Trinity Sunday. It's time for us to re-engage with the dance, friends. To re-engage in the process of learning to dance in harmony with God and in harmony with all of God's creation. All over again. Very often, the way in which to do this is to start behaving as if it were already so. I'll say that again so you can hear it. To start behaving as if it were already so. Friends, if we want peace with our neighbors, then we need to live as if we are at peace with one another. If we want to understand the cries for justice in the face of conflicted times, then we need to listen to one another as if we truly wanted to understand each other. And if we want the violence to stop tearing us apart, then we need to treat one another as if we see Jesus in all people, no exceptions. Now, this may sound strange to you, but let me dance for a moment or two with this thought. Every time you and I pray the first words of the Lord's Prayer, and you know it well, we say, "Our Father." Our Father who art in heaven. In essence, we're behaving as if we were already God's sons and daughters. It's almost as if we're pretending that we're just like Jesus, addressing Almighty God, Creator of the universe, as our Father. Sounds pretty presumptuous given the way that we act sometimes. But remember, it's how Jesus taught us to pray. Now, it's important to realize that there are a couple of ways to pretend to do things. We've all done this. We pretend in a way that seeks to deceive. We'll say we'll do something and then we don't follow through. But then there are other ways to pretend that ultimately lead to a real thing. This is an experience that I vividly had in my life on that dance floor. There were nights, and I'll confess, when I went to class and I just pretended that I could dance. I looked at the dance instructor and I thought, you know, I want to have the same finesse as them, so I'm going to pretend that I'm as light on my feet and rhythmic as they are. And embracing that in vision, it helped me. It helped me improve to the point where it became a little more easy as I practiced and pretended that I could be something that I wasn't in that moment. In many respects, we could say that our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is modeling this very process of pretending as if it were already. Even though our God sees us all too often as self-centered and judgmental and greedy and critical and grumbling and rebellious, our God says, you know what? I'm going to pretend that I see them as my sons and daughters. I'm going to treat each one as if they are what in fact they are clearly not in this moment. I'm going to pretend they're reflections of Jesus, my son, in the hope that by my pretending one day it will become a reality. Friends, this is the dance of the Trinity, God choosing to see us as if we are truly his sons and daughters. This is the dance of the Trinity, God refusing to step away from us and allow us to lose our way. This is the dance of the Trinity, God serving as inspiration for us to become so much more than we could ever be on our own. Entering into the dance, it's very much like pretending we're dance partners with the living God. But you know, as we continue to enter into that experience, as we join the dance, I believe God will grab hold of us and literally sweep us off our feet. And then who knows what wonderful things can happen. May it be so.